I am Terry Edwards, and this is the interview with Dorothy Leelman for the Arkansas Extension Homemakers Council Oral History Program. This is being done on February the 7th, 2012, at the EHC office, Harrison, Arkansas, in Boone County. Now, the audio recordings and the transcript of this interview will be donated to the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas. The recording, transcript, and any other related materials will be deposited and preserved forever in the Special Collections Department, University of Arkansas Libraries, Fayetteville, and the copyright will belong solely to the University of Arkansas. Are you willing to give the Pryor Center permission to make the audio file and transcript available to others?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, first, I'd like you to give me your complete legal name and spell it for me, and then tell me the city and county in which you presently reside.
Okay. Dorothy Mathilda.
Yeah.
M-A-T-H.
M-A-T-H-I-L-D-A,
Leelman, L-E-E-L-M-A-N.
Thanks, Dorothy. Now, the city and county in which you presently reside are...
Do you want my mailing or...
Harrison.
No, it's not Harrison.
Oh, no. Give me where you are.
I actually live in Diamond City, Arkansas, Boone County.
In Diamond City, Arkansas, Boone County. Dorothy, this is going to be a very informal interview, and I want you to share your memories of your involvement with the Extension Homemakers Program, the good times and the challenges. What has been your association with the Extension Homemakers Program, as a member or as a professional? Agent, specialist, whatever.
Member.
As a member. How did you learn about the Extension Homemakers Program?
Oh, when we lived in Oregon, shortly after we were married, I met some friends, and they belonged to Extension and asked me to join.
Right. Now, how long have you been associated with the program?
I guess it's 64 years.
Oh, that's very good. What was the first club or clubs with which you were associated, and what year?
Okay, I joined, I do not remember the name, but if we had a name, when Madras, Oregon, yes. In 1948.
Yeah, can you spell for me the name of the town in Oregon?
M-A-D-R-A-S.
R-A-S. Mm-hmm. Thanks. And now, are you presently a club member? And if so, can you give me the name of the club, the county, and the district?
Yes, Albee in Boone County.
Right. Now,
it's Ozark District.
Okay. Do you have any special remembrances of that first meeting or that first club? Sixty-four years is a long time to remember, isn't it?
A long time. I know it was sort of an informal meeting. We met in the evenings at in members' homes, and it was really. And we would bring our handiwork and do work on that, our crocheting and fun things that we would do. And we had a lot of little parties and things.
Yes. Did they have a serious side as well as
yes.
you do now? They
yes.
did.
Yes. Yeah.
And you were involved in both of those.
Both. We used to do some activities. And
now, why did you join?
Well, I thought it would be a good way to get to know people, because it was new in the area, and just being, newly married. We'd been married a couple of years, but I was working in the town. And I just thought it would be a nice way to get acquainted with, the girls. That were.
Like most of us, I guess.
Yes.
Did you actually find friends and congenial people there in the club?
Yes. That was long-time friends. Most of them are gone now, but that's...
Are you still in touch with any of them?
No, I think the last one passed away that I knew, you know.
Oh, that's sad. Yes. But a long time of happy memories.
Yes, it was.
Now, why have you continued your membership?
Well, because I liked the activity and the fellowship, and it was very educational.
Yes.
And I always have enjoyed the conventions and the trips we used to take years ago. We used to take when we belonged in the National.
A lot of good reasons.
Right. It was very good. You know, there was always something going on.
Yeah.
And it was very educational.
Now, how involved did you actually become? Would you list the offices, committee chairmanships, and special responsibilities you held? I should think there'd been a lot of those.
Well, I've been...
Just tell us the ones you remember.
I've been county president at least three different times. I was district director, and I think I was secretary for years. I think I've held about every office in the counties that, you know, where I've lived, and the presidents, and then Owen was district, and, you know, just, well, let's see, and I've been on several committees, but, you know.
Yes. Do you think those offices have changed over the years, or the duties associated with them?
I think so. I think they've changed some, you know, there's a little, they're more community, and they're not as much, I know our sessions used to be a lot more, we had more learning activities, you know, like we'd have.
Yeah. But I'm thinking perhaps not so much things have changed in general at this point, but the offices themselves. Do you think that the officers have to work in a different way now, or that they have different priorities now?
Well, I don't believe... they do. I mean, you know, we're in
pretty much the same
that we were than we did.
Now, have you attended state council meetings?
Oh yes, I think last year was the first one I'd missed in a good many years.
Oh, that's a good record.
Yeah.
Now, in what year did you attend your first one? Ballpark.
Well, Arkansas, it was probably 1972. And see, now, when I lived in Oregon, I can't remember. I think we went to one, but I don't remember the year. In Alaska, I didn't go to any.
Yeah. Did other members of your club go with you then? Or
Yes, we used to go.
Did the club give you any kind of donation towards the cost of it?
If you were an officer, your way was always paid in the other places where I have been.
I guess that's often important.
Yes, it was, you know, but otherwise, of course, it's gotten more expensive. You
certainly
know,
has.
Everything else.
Certainly has. Yeah. Well, do you have any special memories of that first time?
No, I don't know. Just that the programs and were very, very good. I mean, I think the programs have always been, and their classes have been very good, and all the things in it. Just the fellowship and going to see, you know, people that you know, that is a big thing, and it's always surprise.
People from other parts of your state.
That's right.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you go and you see them, and because sometimes that's the only time you see them.
That's true.
You know.
Do you think that the craft programs, say, or the programs that deal with perhaps matters of other kinds of importance, like support for certain groups or problems in the wider community and things that the EHC could do to help, which kind of program do you think is the most popular?
No. I don't know. That has changed a great deal. Years ago, it used to be, you know, they used to have a lot of more craft. Like we'd have upholstering and all of that. And we would have an agent come out of the extension office in Little Rock. That was before they changed in the funding.
Yes.
And so we had many of those. And if you needed help, they were there to call and would come, you know, conduct and teach these classes. And,
yes.
You know, had many. And I think we have less, I don't know, we have less community demonstration of what the clubs are.
Yes.
And I think that's what's changed.
Though often individual members will put on a program or something. But it seems to me from talking to long-time members here that in the beginning there was a greater emphasis on the practical group teaching of the practical arts, which were very much needed.
Well, yes, I can remember that we used to have, like we'd have sort of a quilt show and a demonstration, but we had a mall where we could go and set up, I mean, and they have, and people would come, you know, that were in shopping. Well, that's how I got into EHC in Boone County, because they used to have their craft fair in the fall down here at the mall.
Yes.
And I went, and here were all the clubs down there, and I got to talking.
That seems like such a good idea, doesn't it? I wonder why we don't do it still.
I don't know. They used to have it down there. I don't know what changed it, but they had it for years.
Because almost everybody goes to the mall, so you get a much wider exposure, don't you?
Yes, and we used to have a bake sale, you know, or bake sales, and we'd have...
Mm-hmm.
And, well, for instance, when we lived down in South Arkansas, in Hamburg, we were always in charge of setting up the booths for the Armadillo Festival.
That must have been fun.
But we'd have a quilt show in the library or something, you know, show, and people could come just to show quilts that people had made. And, you know, of course, we were very active in the fair. And
yes. You know. I think to some extent, the fact that the fairs are not quite as big a deal as they used to be has probably affected EHC. And I think it's a great pity.
Yes, I think so, you know. And, of course, we had some areas have their own building. I mean, we had our own room, like the last one where I was at, and we'd have a building that was ours, you know.
Yes.
Where we could do all of our meetings and all of our, like, quilt shop workshops and everything, and we didn't have to go out and rent.
Yes.
One, and that makes a big difference.
It certainly does.
It makes a big difference.
Because apart from the cost, if you have to go out and rent somewhere, it's not always easy to find a place that is big enough or has the facilities you need, particularly when you're thinking that you have some people who are deaf and need to be near the front.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. Yeah. Did you, when you were saying that you had special buildings of your own, did they have an industrial size kitchen so that you could actually demonstrate, say, canning or something?
A kitchen. Well, the last one where I was at, we were in the courthouse and we had this own building and we had a kitchen where we could do, and we had our storage space and everything that was all ours.
Yeah.
Other people used it, but and other places where we were, we had a, you know, a kitchen.
Yes, yes.
And we could do things that, and makes a big difference, you know, in traveling around the state to different district ones that we used to go to. Most of them did have a kitchen where they did. And I can't wait for this building.
Oh, I know.
If I live long enough.
You will. Can't possibly think of anything otherwise.
You know, and it's such a big help.
Yes.
Because you know where the designated place is, and you can...
Absolutely. And you can put on things more or less at the drop of a hat, because it's your own place.
And each individual club can do something, and it's advertised to the public, and then the rest of the clubs can come, and it It gets it out in the public.
It really does. Yes. And it's also useful, I would have thought especially useful now, because the regulations and things about the serving of food to the public and to other people are much tighter than they used to be.
They are.
And you really need to have the facilities.
Right. And it does. I mean, like you could, you know, like even the cooking schools that we used to have even here.
Yes.
Or needed to the Christmas, you know, when the Christmas cooking and things, and that you've got a place where you can demonstrate and you can keep your utensils and everything. And that makes a big difference. You don't have
to
carry everything in. You know.
Yes, yes. And that's especially so in a country area where there's no public transport and where, you know, people have to come quite a long way. It makes a big difference.
Because, you know, for some of the meals that you're going to do, or even what your cake or anything you're going to demonstrate, you have a lot of
things you're using.
And
yes.
That's right. You have to bring it. And it has
Absolutely.
To be all kept. Yeah. And so it's different if you've got a refrigerator right there to keep things in and all that.
Yes. And I have often thought, I hope we're not straying too far from this, but I've often thought that it would be great fun. Now a lot of people have video cameras. If you put on a cooking school, if that could be photographed, and then it could be sent to other EHCs to look at. Well, back to your life. How has Extension Homemakers touched your life?
Well, it has in many ways, because many of the things that I learned, you know, like sewing and quilting and even a lot of the cooking tips and canning tips, and have all come through, you know, in craft demonstrations and just going to all the programs that they have.
Yes.
That makes a big difference.
Oh, it really does. What do you think has been the most useful thing that you learned?
Well, let's see, that's pretty hard. I would probably say on cooking and canning, and especially in the early years when I was first married, we did a lot of that and different types of things and learning and the gardening and all of this.
And what was the thing that you enjoyed learning the most?
Oh.
What gave you the most pleasure?
Well, I don't know. I think the different crafts. I used to do a lot of crafts.
Do you still do any of those crafts?
I do a few, but not as many. I've got too many things.
Like all of us, yes. Yes, indeed. What has been your least favourite event or activity?
All these tight regulations that they're putting on.
Nobody's going to hold it against you.
I think that all the government regulations and things.
Yes, that aspect has made life not so much fun.
You know, it's not as much, and they're just, you can't do anything that doesn't meet their regulations and that stuff.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that when they used to belong to National, and we used to have the National conventions, to me, that was the greatest loss when they went out of the National thing.
You think so?
Because we went to national conventions. I had the privilege of going on 4.
Did you?
And we went out of Little Rock, and we were gone for 2 weeks at a time.
Oh, my.
We would go on a convention, you know, we'd go to D.C., we went to West Virginia, we went down to Florida, we went. And, you know, the programs, I have to bring my album sometime. But, and I was looking at one of them the other day, but every time, on every trip, we went to D.C., so we really got to tour. And that I missed most, you know, well, they got more expensive, and I think that was a lot of it. But
well, it gave you a complete change of environment, didn't it? And also, I would think, perhaps just being away for a longer period let you settle into what you were doing and thinking.
Right. Well, it was just a very enjoyable. The bus lines and the bus drivers were and it was a well-planned trip. Each time we stayed at the 4-H Center out in Chevy Chase, Maryland, for 5 days while we were in D.C. And so, you know, and when you were traveling, you didn't have to worry. Yeah.
And I should think another thing too was that being involved in those things, you actually learn to do this kind of planning.
Yes.
And what it entails.
Yes.
Which is always useful.
Right. And, you know, they were well planned. And most of them were state leaders that were along out of Little Rock, that were state leaders that went, that organized it.
Yes, yes.
But it was very educational, and it was nice to go on the national level. And see.
Oh, I imagine so, yes. I regret not having to be able to do it myself.
Know, back then you had to dress, and, you know, and I can remember one program. I'm going to find, see if I've still got the dress. We had to all wear long dresses, period dresses. And
what did you wear?
It was one I made, and I had it, and I hope I didn't give it away to the thrift shop. I'm going to look in the bottom of my trunk.
Because you must bring it in, and then we can see.
But, you know, it was nice to go and to meet all these people from all the different states that came, and the programs were just very good.
It really broadens your horizons, doesn't it? Which I think is one of the main advantages.
And I think it's really nice, you know. I know there are some, there's one group in Arkansas yet that still does it. They take a trip every fall, the county. They tell me when I go to state meeting that they
still do that.
Mm-hmm. They,
was there any one event or one meeting that you really didn't enjoy, that you remember thinking, oh dear?
No, I don't, that I didn't enjoy, no. I can't really say that I have one that was, you know, that stands out that was really...
Not even a least favorite. Not really.
Can't really think of one that would be, because they're all different.
True.
You know, and so I can't really think of one that I didn't really enjoy.
And you have the sort of temperament that would find something good in whatever.
You have to stay positive, you know, not all of it.
Well, what changes, this is a big one, have you experienced in the Extension Homemakers organization?
Well, I think they're much more regulatory. I mean, you know, I think that they can't do a lot of things. And I think they've gone to more community activities. I mean, that's public. But for us older members, a lot of those things, I mean, if we don't already know that.
We got there.
It's getting a little late, and it's nice. But if you can get the younger people to come, but that's our hardest problem, I think, now, to get...
It really is, isn't it?
Because even if you have public programs, it seems like they're too busy. And
society has changed as a whole, hasn't it?
I think, because you don't get the attendance, even if you have a meeting out that we used to get. I mean, there's too many other things to
do.
That's
true.
They don't have to leave with all this computerized,
and
they
can entertainment and
everything.
They
can, their
at home.
Books tell them everything, and they can find out anything. And I think that's a lot of it that's taken away.
In a way, that's good. But in another way, do you think people have lost out a bit?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think
they've lost a lot of the fellowship and, you know, of knowing other people. I think that's a big part of it.
Yes.
You can, you know, associate with other people.
And belonging to a group.
Right. And they're congenial, and, you know, you can... Yes. It's like I tell everybody, if we all thought alike, it would be a very dull world. But, you know, I think that's a big thing that's changed.
I agree with you, Dorothy.
Because, you know, they don't have to go anywhere.
No, it's all there.
It's all there.
Which in some ways is very nice.
But
and in a, like everything, in others not so good.
No.
And, you know, I something talking, you know, you were saying about the community and belonging to a group. I find, and you probably do too, that when you're traveling, particularly on a plane where you chat to people and so on, if you say that you're in the EHC, if there's another EHC member within earshot, you've got an instant companion and friend, and
right.
you know that you're going to have a body of things
right.
in common
talk
to talk
that's
about.
Right. Yes, and it's still amazing to me that if you say EHC, people say, "What's that?" You know,
they don't know.
You know,
yes.
and it's and to get them interested, and they will say, "I'm too busy." You know, or they've got too many other
yes.
things to do, and I think that because. We went for the fellowship and to learn because we
yes.
didn't have all that other. When I first joined, you know, I can remember we didn't have televisions or anything
yes.
like that.
Yes.
And it made a difference.
If you had a radio, it was pretty good.
Right,
you'd
right.
be glued to that for the
right.
weekly play, you know, whatever.
But I think that's made a big difference. We've got all these
yes.
others than that. So.
Yes.
And if you don't know it, they go to the computer and find it.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I know that from experience with my granddaughter and things. I mean, if she wants a recipe for something, she doesn't bother to get a cookbook like we used to. She goes to
the computer
and picks it up.
Yeah. Well, now, has the Extension Homemakers taught you anything about people? Take your time, because that's a big question.
That's a big question. You know, I've always said, well, everybody has something that they can give, and you can get some, you know, satisfaction just from knowing the people and, you know, working with them. And I think that's a lot of it, that fellowship. And that's, I still to this day tell people that are, you know, getting up and they say, well, I don't feel like going anywhere. I can't get up and walk like I used to. I tell them, well, don't stay home, go.
You're
and
right.
do something, because that is so much better for you.
Yes.
And you're out there and you're talking to other people.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're having problems, that helps them too,
yes.
and they can help. And I think that's the big asset, I mean, too. Because I've always been a believer. Of course, I've always worked in the medical field. But if you go, I mean, you're not going to hurt anymore, or you're going out talking, and it's much better
mm-hmm.
for you. And I think that's a big thing, the fellowship and getting
yes.
out with mm-hmm. people. And most of the EHC members are just, you know, very...
Very warm people,
yeah,
anyway.
And congenial, and
yeah.
they like to associate with other people.
And I think, too, with somebody who maybe has a gift that hasn't been greatly known, if they want to really show people what they can do, at EHC they can do it in a non-critical...
Right.
Everybody's urging you on, and they're with you.
Yes, right, and you can do, you know, and... like
gives you confidence.
People, there are people that are artists, and all these people that... Well, they know something that you don't know how to do,
yes.
and they can show you, and you'll think, oh, well, I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't you find too that often the most surprising people have a gift you would never have suspected?
That's right.
I mean, you must have known people like that in the
right.
EHC
yes,
in your time.
Well, that's right. I mean, because you don't know what they mm. can do, and when you go to meetings like that, and it's mm. just amazing. And if you don't know how to do something, there's always somebody that can help you and show you.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think that's a big thing, you know, and they do. Do so much good. They also, you know,
yes.
a lot of times they don't give themselves the credit, or they don't get the credit for all the good they do, you know.
Yes, that's very true.
And so I think it's, yes, I think that, you know, everybody, if they've once started and belong to one, whether they just an organization, mm-hmm. EHC club or anything, it benefits them in many ways.
I think you're right. Now, have you got any other memories or experiences or thoughts that you would like to share? Doesn't have to be particularly EHC related, but anything. You've seen a lot of places, a lot of people, a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Any conclusions about life in general?
Well, I always say you have to stay active and be positive, you know.
Yes.
And go, you know, and I think that's a big thing. If you stay active, I mean, you're automatically going to have to cut down at some time or other. But
yeah.
I think, you know, no matter what you're doing, if you can try to...
Makes a difference.
Do you
yourself do any particular physical activity to keep your body in good shape?
Well, I've always been a walker, and so yeah. I've always done that, and always gone to exercise classes. And so
yes.
That's
yes.
two of the big things. And of
yes.
course, I've always done a lot of physical work, you know, and yard work and
yes.
gardening and all of that. And
so.
I'm responsible for all the yard work.
No wonder you're still fit.
But yes. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, you know, you're going to cut it. You have to cut down, but you can still do it. And it's great to be out in the outdoors. I mean, another thing I've always done, we do a lot of volunteer work.
Yes.
We still are volunteering as park hosts in the state parks. And so this is our 24th year that we will.
That's very good.
Yes. And, you know, I think going out, we've been campers and being out in the outdoors and...
Mm. Yeah. Are you involved with the church group at all, or?
Yes, I'm active in our church, and I've always been active in the church, and I've been president of the council a couple times. And,
yes.
You know, and just but going and, you know, to meet your friends there, too, and it's just
yes.
really...
Do you feel at this time in your life that you're glad to be settled and where you are with familiar friends and people and, you know, a network? Or do you hanker after just one more move and one more community?
No. I'm very happy.
Very happy where you are.
Because of the traffic, you know,
ah.
how people go. It's so nice to come, like when we just came from South Texas, the traffic. In the big cities, is and everybody's in such a hurry in this life.
Yes.
They don't, you know, slow down. And like coming back here, they wanted us to move to Texas several years ago, and I said, no way. I'm going to stay where I'm at. At least I can drive and go where
yes.
I want to go yet. And you can, you know,
yes.
you don't have six lanes of traffic going everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. That's when we moved even up here. And it's nice because you can go and, you know, we've got
yes.
a beautiful country up here.
And in general, people are pretty patient here with older
you know,
drivers.
Yes.
They don't sort of cut in front of them and murder them without
murder,
a thought,
right.
do they?
You know, and it's because in the big cities, construction is just...
It's hard.
It is hard. But I think there's a very good, even though my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they love to come up here in this part.
They do.
My granddaughter said, I want to move back to Arkansas.
Oh, what do you think it is they like about it, especially?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the relaxed atmosphere. And, of course, they like the, you know, beautiful country.
Yes.
And I think it's the relaxed atmosphere. They're in such a hurry. You know,
nice things to do, like canoeing on the Buffalo.
Right. And,
yeah.
you know, go camping, and they like to be out. If you're in the big city, I mean,
quite different, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Our daughter said, you know, she goes somewhere, and she's used to driving in Dallas-Fort Worth, but she said, you never know whether you're going to get to go the same way as in 2 days in a row.
The one thing, I have virtually all my children save one are city dwellers, I'm sorry to say, but the one thing that I think is perhaps in favour of cities is that the big ones do have a public transportation
yes.
system. And I know because my mother benefited from this. She never learned to drive. Mm-hmm. And she could go anywhere, you know, on the bus.
Right.
And I do think that this is something that that the EHC should try to encourage. I know it's asking for the moon, but partly it's attitude. Americans like to have their own cars. Well, don't we all? But partly it would make such a difference for older people if there was an efficient public transportation system, even if it was just, say, from the edge of the town. If you had a place you could drive to and park and then get on a bus.
Yeah. And that would be nice if there was a place, you know, like that. I don't think even Dallas-Fort Worth has a public transportation.
No.
I don't think they do.
No. I have a daughter in Madrid, and it's amazing. I know that is a big monster city, but I do think that a lot of the problems that when people get to be really old, that they face, it's isolation and practical problems in getting around and moving stuff.
And they have a safe.
Yes. Once
that's the thing. I mean, because I know we used to go to San Francisco and up there to visit, but transportation was real nice. You could get on, like, say, the BART and go in, and you didn't have to worry about parking.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a big help. And I mean, I know years ago, even in Chicago, it was, you know, the public transportation is nice, like you say. Then you don't have to worry about a car and driving.
That's right. Or finding somewhere to put it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. They do have a senior bus that comes out to some areas. I know, I think they come out to Diamond City once a week still. Mm. Pick them up and bring them in, you know.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, that's something.
That's something,
But I think that's very important that...
I do.
You know,
I
so do. They can go. And I don't know if they're in town. I think there is a bus that comes out from the senior center will pick up people to bring them to...
I guess I'm thinking particularly of
but
people
if you had one that
who live way out.
Yes, that lived way out. And
it's fine if you have family in the area, which of course a lot of people do, and who will take you in. But again, there are a lot of people whose family have moved away, and they just don't have anyone, and they don't always have the means to pay someone.
Right,
to,
that's, you know, expensive.
Yeah, the problem.
And I think that would be as a very important thing, because that does give them a chance, even if they only go certain places, if the public transportation would.
One other thing I'd just like your opinion on, out of sheer curiosity, because you have a long experience. I'm thinking that we are now getting quite a few people, Hispanic people particularly, who come to work in the area. And I know that they do have very strong familial connections and so on. But I would think that quite a lot of the women, at any rate, might very much enjoy some of the EHC programs, and it would be a means of integrating them into the community a little more than at present. How can we do it? How can we get them in?
I don't know. A couple of years ago, we talked about that. We tried to get them. And I'm just wondering how we could approach it. I'm trying to think who we could ask that it might know that.
Yes.
What might know how, because it seems to me that there's a lot of them, like you say, and I don't know whether they get together, but it would be nice.
Yes, at least to make the effort and try.
To find out, because, you know, they would, I'm sure, would like to do some things.
Yes.
And if they could get them, but I don't know who or where.
And they could teach us a lot,
too,
of great interest, which would be...
Wow. They could teach us a Spanish class. Because I tried a couple of years ago. I said, we need to find someone to teach us a Spanish class.
Yes. Now, there's a good thought.
You know, and it could be just a basic one.
Yes. Just so that
we know
can...
what they're saying. And because I know from volunteering at the hospital, there are a lot of them come in. We have two or three interpreters there that come.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure that she might be, one of them might be, because I talked to her, because she said, well, I'll be willing to help you anyway, you know. But it's just nice to know, because if you go down to South Texas,
Yes.
Nobody speaks English.
Yes. And I find that when I travel to Spain to see my daughter, my Spanish is totally basic out of a book, you know, yes, right. No, and so on. But people there are so keen to communicate. They help you out.
Right.
And I wonder, maybe we should discuss this at EHC sometime and see if we could get a Spanish. Yeah, anyway, that's another thing.
I think it would be nice, because even if you can go into a store and they're talking, and you know, I always say hello to them, but some of them may not understand, but you have to acknowledge and smile, and they'll smile back at you.
Yes.
Of course, our family, the granddaughter, her husband is Spanish, and she speaks. She said, but I should have paid more attention when I was going to school.
Yes.
But Juan is so sweet. And he's, of course, he was born and raised here, but he's, and the other grandson, one of the granddaughters, her mother was Ecuadorian, and now he's married to a girl that comes from Costa Rica. And so I said, they've got, you know, and they speak, but those little kids, they watch this TV program, and they can...
The kids are bilingual. They don't have the slightest difficulty in picking it up.
My three-year-old grandson, and I went up to Lee Summit, and he was saying all these words, and I said, what are you saying? Why? Grandma, don't you know that's French? The Dora program,
Well,
but you know, and it's so easy to learn it then and then. But I think, I really think we should get a Spanish or some type.
Because I think that women particularly, and probably men too, they all have a desire to communicate.
Right.
And even if you're traveling in a country where you've hardly any of the language at all, you can mime and you'll find half the store miming with you.
Well,
Dorothy, we should stop.
I think it would be nice to get some clubs in that group. I mean, because I agree with you. I mean, because they have things that I'm sure they've got people that they could teach things, and that would make them feel more comfortable.
Yes, being on the giving side as well as on the receiving.
You know, and of course there are problems, but we've got to accept the fact and get along with everybody that we can.
Perhaps we should talk to our agent
about
it.
And see if we can do
anything there.
There or something or someone that could. I know we brought it up one time before, and we've got a council meeting coming up. But I think it would be very good of all these other classes.
Yes.
I think if we could get some and have a basic one to start.
Yes, and maybe go on from there
if
people want it to.
I know they have one at the college, but sometimes the night hours, you know,
are not good for older people.
Oh, you don't want to come in at 6 to 8 o'clock at night.
No. I agree. We'll talk to our agent about it.
I think that would be good.
Dorothy, I could go on for hours, and so could you, but thank you very much indeed for all your contributions, all of them, to the Extension Homemakers, and I know they've been many, many, and for sharing your time and your memories with us. Many thanks.
Thank you for asking me. I really enjoyed it.